You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
All right. Appreciate you tuning in. Oilers Canucks postponed tomorrow as the Canucks return to play is being delayed. It hasn't been officially announced, but it sounds like their first game back is going to be Sunday against the Leafs. They were originally supposed to play the Oilers tomorrow, the Leafs Saturday. So the Oilers will now practice here in Edmonton tomorrow, then fly to Winnipeg in the afternoon. They play the Jets on Saturday, and we're expecting that the NHL will announce that game will now start at 5 p.m. instead of 8. So the face-off show, 6:30 Chet on Saturday, will be at 3:30. NHL tonight, the Jets leading the Leafs 4-2 with 12 minutes left. After two, it's Detroit up 3-1 on Chicago. Late in the first, Blue Jackets leading Dallas 1-0. In the third, Flyers and Penguins 1-1. Panthers and Lightning 1-1. Hurricanes up 3-0 on the Preds. Sabres lead the Caps 4-2 early in the third. Partway through the third, Rangers all over the Devils. It's 5-0. And start of the third period, Bruins outshooting the Islanders 35-18, and they have a 2-1 lead in that game. Blue Jays are down 3-0 in the fourth, taking on Kansas City. Oil Kings just getting underway against Lethbridge. Oil Kings having, obviously, a great season, just one loss so far this year. Well, they're about a minute into the first period in Lethbridge, no score. Also, Ronnie writes in. We have a non-COVID, non-postponement text. Ronnie says, hey, Reed, why do you think Dominic Cahoon keeps getting put in the top six? He's an okay player, but he's proven to not be effective at all in terms of point production. I would put almost anyone else on the roster ahead of him. Well, fair comment. That's one of the holes in the Oilers lineup. They've tried Turris a little bit there. They've tried Tyler Ennis. And then I think the other players, look at the rest of the guys on the roster. They're most of them are scoring even less frequently than Cahoon does. So I think that's why you don't see Patrick Russell or Zach Cassian you could probably make an argument for Archibald going there, but then the third line is weaker, Ronnie. So I think that's why they keep putting him there. They keep giving him shots. It's certainly not ideal. Okay. Oh, Pat Steinberg's on the phone from Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Hey, Pat, how are you doing, buddy?
Oh, hi, Reed. How are we doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to talk about Dominic Cahoon, please.
There we go. Ronnie beat you to it. I want to talk to you about the Flames because they're making it interesting here. Against All Odds by Phil Collins might be their theme song. Is this Canucks a big talker for you guys today, or is it because the Flames aren't directly involved in one of the games this weekend? People aren't that concerned about it. But it did affect the Flames and Canucks recently, though.
It has, and I think what is interesting is Flames fans, those who are still holding on to some hope to make the playoffs, and I think that hope has certainly become a little bit more palpable in recent days. I think that the conversation now is, okay, so the Canucks aren't playing, and we don't know how many games they're going to play. How is that going to affect the rest of the playoff race? And what about those two games at the end of the season? Are they going to mean anything? So Calgary's schedule was supposed to end, much like every other North Division team, but Calgary's schedule was supposed to end on May 8th, right? And so instead, it's ending on May 16th, which is more than a week later than originally scheduled because of how things got thrown into the blender, first with Montreal and then with Vancouver. So I think people are wondering, okay, so they play them back-to-back on the 15th and 16th, are those games going to all of a sudden be for a playoff berth for Calgary? Is that going to all of a sudden determine whether or not this team is in or out? And we're a long way from actually crossing that bridge, but I think that's been the interesting part is Montreal doesn't have any more games with Vancouver, whereas Calgary's got four games left with Montreal, and so I think that's where the biggest intrigue comes from is whether or not the Flames and their remaining games against Vancouver, A, are going to get played as scheduled, and B, if they do, how much they're actually going to mean.
It's an interesting topic. I got a lot of text messages in the first hour of the show. A few gentlemen phoned in, talked to John Shannon, and it's everything from we got to just let the Canucks heal and let them play when they're ready to a couple of people said if they have a game on the schedule they can't play, forfeit. It's too late in the season. I think that's a pretty and we know the NHL doesn't want to do that. But John Shannon says they're still going to get them the 56 games. But you sort of touched on those games at the end of the year. I wonder when the schedule comes out tomorrow if it's a drastic reorganization. Just like if they just say we almost have to start from almost scratch and then get all the games in that way. I don't know.
Well, and look at, I mean, and far be it for me and a guy in Calgary who we enjoy seeing the Oilers go through misery, but has there been a team that has been more of an innocent bystander to this whole stuff to this whole situation, both with Montreal and then with Vancouver, than the Edmonton Oilers? Like, how many games have the Oilers had completely thrown around, and how many times has their schedule been completely jacked up, and now they're in a situation where they got to play X amount of games in a short amount of time? And I'm not trying to say that there's been any fault in Montreal or Vancouver. COVID is what COVID is. People are going to get it. I understand that, but the Oilers haven't, and the Oilers have not had a positive test, yet their schedule has been thrown completely into disarray a few times. So, that's why I wonder, because everybody's schedules have been thrown around into a blender a couple of times now. I'm curious as to whether or not they completely reworked the matrix too and almost look at it and say, is it going to even be possible to get Vancouver 256? If it is, how do we do that in a more their equitable way, so they're not going to all of a sudden put themselves in a spot where soft tissue injuries and overplaying injuries are going to become part of the equation, not to mention the fact that a lot of guys are coming back from a respiratory illness and being thrown into the highest level hockey on the planet, which needs pretty good respiratory ability. So the whole thing is a mess, and I honestly don't know what to expect now between now and the end of the season. I really don't in terms of the schedule.
Yeah, well, and I said that before I went to the news that like a couple people are asking me about the playoffs, and I'm just like, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but like I can't even because I get asked, well, is the Canadian winner going to have to go play all their home game, and like I can't even get that far ahead right now. We got to get through this part of it for sure. So let's touch on the Flames though. Because, I know you and I do the Oilers Flames thing sometimes, but really I don't like say things to troll the Flames. But I mean, look, I've been saying for a few weeks they're not going to get in, but they have won what, three in a row. I like the website sportsclubstats.com that does literally millions of computer simulations every day, and the Flames have gone up in their playoff odds by about 5% from 2 to 7. So 7's not very good, but it's better than. But what are we talking about here? Like they basically have to get 20 out of 26 points down the stretch, or can they do a little worse than that and try to get in? What are you looking at?
Well, so here's the thing where Calgary is concerned. So their tragic number right now is the way I have it computed, the way I do it, it's I guess it would be 23 points. So I then cut that in half and kind of go the magic number, tragic number route in baseball. So their tragic number is 11.5. And every time Montreal wins or Calgary loses in regulation, and any single point either way drops that number. So losses or Montreal win, drop it by one, and then shootout overtime losses for either team drops it by a half a point. So that's not a lot of wiggle room when you got 13 games remaining. And so essentially, Montreal got 16 left. If Montreal goes 8-8 in their final 16, Calgary can only lose 4 games. So it's like that math doesn't work very well. However, the thing that makes the math a little bit more interesting And depending on how you look at it, the Flames have got four of their final 13 games against Montreal. So there is a good chunk of hockey left against the team they're directly competing against, and you've got an opportunity to take a bite out of it. They beat the Habs four times in a row, and the team that Calgary has played their best hockey against this season is Montreal. They've been junk against the Sens. They've had their lunch handed to them for the most part with Edmonton. Toronto won the season series. Winnipeg has played them really tough, but they've had a lot of success against Montreal. And so Flames fans, the optimistic ones, are saying, okay, we understand the math doesn't favor. We understand that the Habs have played three fewer games and that they are in the driver's seat, but okay, well, let's say that the success continues against Montreal and you can continue taking a bite out of them because four of Calgary's next six games are against the Habs to finish the season series. Then all of a sudden, if you win the next four against Montreal, well, the math looks a whole lot better for Calgary. And I grant you that. But I also think it's going to be pretty difficult for Calgary, too, who's already won four straight against Montreal, to then win four more in a row against them to finish off the year. That's a tall task. But I don't think they're going. I think the math is too prohibitive for them. It's too much of an uphill climb. I don't think they're going to do it. But the one thing that keeps the door open, and the reason why I have not completely slammed it shut, is because I do not buy Montreal. I don't. I haven't since they fired Claude Julien. I thought at the time that was a really dumb, short-sighted move. You go from an elite head coach to a guy who's never coached before at this level as a head coach, and immediately the team's play has regressed. They're no longer an analytics darling. They're not scoring. This roster, which is not built on superstar players, is not the greater than the sum of their parts. They're thin down the middle. They don't have their best player in Brendan Gallagher, or maybe their most important heart and soul guy in Gallagher. They're missing Carey Price, their number one goalie. So I look at the Habs and I say, if I'm Vancouver, if they're going to make us play 16 or 19, and if I'm Calgary, I look at the Habs as a vulnerable hockey team. And so that's why the door is still open for me. It's less my faith in Calgary, because they've been an infuriating, inconsistent, generally mediocre hockey team all year long. So my faith in Calgary is extremely low. It's less about that and more about the fact I just don't buy Montreal. That to me is not a really good hockey team. And I've got some eyes on whether or not they're going to be able to keep up the pace they need to not at least make this interesting for some teams down the stretch, because their schedule sucks and they haven't been playing very good hockey. So that's why I haven't slammed the door completely. But the most likely scenario here is the Flames get close, they miss, they don't get a high draft pick, and they don't go to the playoffs. That really does feel like the way it's going to go, because that's kind of the way it always goes in this city.
You know, it's interesting how the matchups have worked out, because I think most people listening would very much believe in Montreal, because they've beaten the Oilers pretty bad three times this season and won another game in overtime, and the Oilers only beat them once. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Hey, quickly before I let you go, which trade surprised you more, Riddick or Bennett?
Oh, you know what? Kind of neither, because those two guys were both very much on the radar to go. I guess the return surprised me more for Bennett, though, because I didn't think they were going to get as much for Bennett as they got. To be able to turn him into a second-round pick and then a guy who was taken in the second round in this past draft, Neil Heinemann, to get that from the Panthers was actually pretty impressive, I thought. I think the Flames did a good job of leveraging Bennett's kind of resume of being a playoff performer, and they did a good job of leveraging the final six games before he was traded, where he had put up the most points in any stretch all season. So they got a pretty good return for him. But I thought Bennett wanted out. He wanted a change of scenery and had for months. The Flames were kind of dragging their feet on it because they didn't like the tact with the agent coming out and going public. But now it's deadline time. You might as well make the move. They got a decent return. I thought they did a pretty good job, all things considered. My biggest surprise is that they didn't move Derek Ryan. We had him, we'd heard him connected to the Oilers. We'd heard him connected to a few other teams. I think Carolina was somewhat interested in him, but there just wasn't a big market. His cap hit of over $3 million, even at half of that, I think was pretty prohibitive for a lot of cap-strapped teams. So I guess I was a little surprised that he didn't get moved because good player. But the two moves that actually got made, I got good return on. But the actual players moving, I wasn't overly shocked at.
Pat, thanks for hopping on. Of course, we'll keep in touch down the road here. Really appreciate your perspective, man.
Be well, Reed. Stay safe.
That's Pat Steinberg, host of Flames Hockey Sportsnet 960. Here's a name you'll know. Taylor Hall has scored for Boston.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
They lead the Islanders 3-1, 12 minutes left in the third. Good to have you tuning in tonight. Blue Jays in tough, bottom of the fourth. They trail Kansas City 5-0, and the Royals threatening to add to the lead. If you missed it before the break, Taylor Hall has scored for the Boston Bruins, his third of the season, his first with the Bruins. Boston leading the Islanders 3-1 with 9 minutes left in the third. A little bit of note here from the Canadian Football League. Board of Governors meeting expected next week. And the likely outcome, I'm being told, will be a postponement of the 2021 season. Not a cancellation, but a postponement. So a delayed start. And my contact telling me this isn't overly surprising. So I guess this means an 18-game season that starts a little later, or maybe they play a 14-game season or something like that. And they still absolutely have the goal to play this year. So something to expect there from the Canadian Football League next week. Oilers, no game tomorrow. No game tomorrow. So you're stuck with another edition of Inside Sports from 6 to 8 at Winnipeg on Saturday. Again, at the moment, it's still an 8 o'clock start officially, though we do expect it's going to get moved forward and it'll start at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. The NHL saying that by tomorrow, it will have North Division schedule adjustments. We got the champ, Jelena Mrjenovic, coming up. She has another title bout in a week. And former U of A goaltender now has an entry-level deal with the San Jose Sharks, Zach Zachenko, coming up as well. Good to have you tuning in tonight. Just updating the scoreboard for you here. The Jets have beaten the Maple Leafs 5-2. Kyle Connor, 2 goals. He now has 21 on the season. Ehlers, 2 goals. He's now up to 20. Halfway through the third, Red Wings lead Chicago 3-1. Blue Jackets up 1-0 on the Stars in the second period. Late in the third, overtime looming. Flyers and Penguins 1-1. They're going into overtime. Panthers and Lightning are tied 2-2. Panthers with a 37-17 edge in shots. 2 minutes left in Carolina. Canes lead the Preds 4-1. 3 minutes left in Washington. The Sabres looking like they're going to win. Up 4-2 on the Capitals. Anders Bjork has a goal. Taylor Hall has a goal for the Bruins. They lead the Islanders 3-1 late in the third. Rangers shut out the Devils 4-0. Edmonton Oil Kings 1-0 lead in Lethbridge. 1 minute left in the first period. Blue Jays down 7-0 in Kansas City, and the Blue Jays now batting in the top of the fifth. Oilers and Canucks will not happen tomorrow. We don't know when that will be rescheduled, and the Oilers will go to Winnipeg for a game on Saturday. Can also tell you, I sometimes talk about golfing at the Devon Golf and Conference Center. In a letter to members, Pat Wren, the president of the club, has said that the club's former general manager is facing a couple of charges. Scott Borsa resigned as the general manager at the end of March. There was a reason to investigate. And Mr. Wren writes, our finding indicated there are several issues relating to our financial position that could not be explained. We immediately notified the RCMP Devon detachment to commence a thorough investigation. As a result of their findings, Mr. Borsa was arrested and charged with one count of defrauding the Devon Golf Club and one count of theft under $5,000. So a little bit there from the Devon Golf and Country Club. Interesting story. She is ready to fight again with a belt on the line 1 week from tonight in New York State, currently training in Vegas. It is Edmonton's Jelena Mrjenovic. Jelena, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm actually really good.
Well, that's good. It's nice to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And you're what now, a week away from your next belt? Is that how long we got?
I am. 1 week, yep.
One week and a few hours. 1 week and a few hours. Not that you're keeping track. Tell everybody where you've been training and how you're feeling leading up to this one.
So I've been in Las Vegas this whole camp, doing a training camp with Jonathan. I actually have an amazing team this time. You know, obviously we talked about my last fight and all the trials and tribulations I kind of went through before that. And it was tough. And everything, I mean, fingers crossed, we got one more week. Everything seems to be going really smoothly. You know, I've picked up a couple training partners, Nonito Donaire. So if anybody in the boxing world knows that name, knows he's a legend. So he's been a sparring partner of mine. His wife has been doing some conditioning stuff with me. She's amazing. She does all of Nonito's conditioning. And then Jesse Vargas has been part of that team too. So, you know, Jonathan Banks is the head coach. We all know he couldn't make the last fight. This fight, he will be there. He's excited. And we've had a great camp.
Awesome. Okay, so now this is a Ring City event, and you're going, isn't this at West Point, like Army, right? Like that's where the fight is?
Yeah, so it's at West Point Academy, just north of New York. So, we could have done opposite last time. I was in Miami last time, and fight was in LA, and this time I'm in Vegas, and fight's, I mean, at least we got the camp straight this time.
Okay. Good. Will there be, I know things are a little different in at least some parts of the States. Is there going to be an audience this time? Will you have fans?
So I was kind of asking about this because New York has some fans for sporting events, but for this event with Ring City, there will be cadets there, but no general public. So.
Okay. Well, that might be an interesting vibe though with the cadets there.
I'm excited. I heard West Point. I mean, obviously, I'm from the west side of the country, you know, Alberta, Edmonton, Alberta, hometown. And I frequent down south here. I frequent Vegas and LA, my two favorite spots to kind of get in a quick trip. Everything I've heard about Point is amazing. They say it's beautiful. They say it's interesting. I think some of my close friends were like, please come back. Don't join the army. I was like, well, I'm Canadian. Don't worry.
Yeah. No worries there for sure. Your opponent is Erica Cruz Hernandez. What can you tell us about Erica?
Erica is 12-1. She comes, I actually don't even know how many knockouts she has. She's 12-1, super tough. She's from Mexico. She's a police officer in Mexico. So, you know, that means she's probably as tough as they come. And we have one common opponent in Vicia Travato, the Italian girl that I fought at home. I think if you do recall the exciting point in that, I mean, I knocked her down in the 10th round, but Milan and her coach almost got in a fight at the end of the fight, if anybody recalls that. So we have one common opponent. We both beat her in this similar type fashion. I believe Erica dropped her in the second round, flash knockdown, and I dropped her in the 10th round. So that's kind of where we stack up regarding opponents. But I'm excited. Like, I know she comes to war. She's a southpaw, so she's a lefty, which we all know that I don't enjoy fighting them because the styles are awkward. You get a lot of head clashes, which I'm, fingers crossed, hopefully this time we don't get cut. But yeah, I'm expecting like a great fight, action as usual. I can't ask for a better training camp, to be honest with you. So it almost feels like it's too smooth at this point. So I'm kind of just like cautiously optimistic for this last week, but like nervous.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy that it's going smooth. And this is for the WBA belt.
Yeah, WBA featherweight. Yeah.
Okay, because so you know the alphabet, all these alphabet associations confuse me sometimes, Jelita, so I always double check what exactly is on the line. Well, this is great. This is great. And then are you going to be able, I know you've been all over, but are you going to be able to spend any time in Edmonton in the near future once you win on Thursday?
I mean, this has been tough because I obviously miss home. I've been gone for 7 weeks this camp. And I miss home, but I think it's hard to miss anything at home right now because we have such lockdowns and life is kind of odd at home. So I am unsure what I'm going to do. I definitely want to come home. However, Nonito is fighting May 29th. And because he's been such an amazing part of my camp and my team, I want to be down here training with him and supporting him as he supported me, and then hopefully going to his fight. So I think the plan is to maybe come home for a couple weeks and then come back down. And it all depends on how the fight goes, right? So I'm not looking past Erica Hernandez, but we are looking to get back into the ring and hopefully a unification bout shortly after. I mean, if I win by a spectacular knockout early in the fight, then who knows? Maybe I'm going to, like, maybe I'll go to a beach somewhere. I don't know. I can't look past, like, I think this has been, it's been quite some time since I've been in such good spirits a week out. You know, normally, like, you're cutting weight, you're dropping your sodium, you're finishing up. This is what we used to call Hell Week, or what I used to call Hell Week. And it was actually my favorite week of training because it was so challenging. And you guys know me, I don't back down from a challenge ever. So, this week I'm used to being really down and out. You've talked to me a week out of a fight, like I'm barely stringing sentences together sometimes because I'm just moody and everybody says that I'm moody. I just say that I don't have time for patience.
You just focus, that's all. Focused.
I don't have patience for stupidity. That's what I say.
Right.
Some people say that I'm grumpy. I just say I don't have patience for stupidity.
Well, of course, we wish you all the best. And of course, we will I'll pre-book you for a date within a few days after the fight, like we usually do as well. So we wish you all the best. Glad you're doing well. Go get another one, Jelita.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been good. So everybody tune in NBC Sports if you have that. If not, Twitch. You go on the Twitch app if you're old like me and you're not sure. It's an app. Go on Twitch, follow Ring City USA, and you'll be able to stream all the undercard and everything. I am going on at 7 o'clock sharp Edmonton time. And if you're on NBC, that's the TV time for the show. So looking forward to seeing everybody virtually and hopefully an exciting fight.
Jelita Mrjenovic, she is ready to go, putting that belt on the line 1 week from...
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Tonight, we'll catch up with Zach Sachenko, former U of A goaltender, now a member of the San Jose Sharks. Okay, he had a couple of stellar seasons for the U of A Golden Bears, and a few days ago he signed an entry-level contract with the San Jose Sharks. Welcome back to the show, goaltender Zach Sachenko. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Reed. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you. Hey, congratulations on signing the entry-level contract. That's got to be a pretty cool milestone.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's a lot of years of hard work, but I'm obviously really excited to be part of the Sharks organization.
So tell me how it played out. I mean, obviously, you know, Dubnyk got traded. Was there something happening before then, or did they come to you relatively quickly after the deal? How did it shake down?
Yeah, it happened pretty fast, to be honest. I mean, Dubnyk got traded, I think, on the Friday. I was in the American League with the Barracuda on a road trip. We played Saturday. I actually got my COVID vaccine on Friday, so I was feeling pretty rough on Saturday. Decided I shouldn't be playing. I didn't play on Friday, backed up, and then on Sunday I was playing, and then after the game played fairly well, and then I got off the bus, got a call from my agent, didn't pick it up. I basically just texted him, said, hey, I'm on the bus. I'll give you a call tomorrow. And he said, please give me a call. It's urgent. So I gave him a ring. And then sure enough, he said, Sharks were looking to sign me. So they put together a deal pretty quick. And then as soon as I got in that night, about 11:30 at night, I signed my first NHL deal.
Well, awesome. That's a good feat. Who was the first person you called or texted after you got the news you were getting the ELC?
Yeah, I text my dad right away. So I usually break down games with him after the game. So I broke it down, and then we were on our way home. And then I basically just text him one quick word, like, Dad, San Jose wants to sign me to an ELC. And he blew up from there. And then obviously it was a night full of emotion.
Awesome stuff. So let everybody know how you think the rest of the season will look for you now. I mean, it's been obviously a crazy year. What do you think? How do you think the next few weeks are going to play out?
Yeah, it's been, you said it best, it's been a crazy year. So I think for me, I'll be on the taxi squad for the rest of the year. And then once, we'll see how the Sharks do here. They're in the middle of a playoff push. So hopefully they can crack the postseason. If not, I'll probably head down to the Barracuda in the American League, finish out the year there when the Sharks are done. But as far as I'm concerned, I will be on the taxi squad for the rest of the year, basically just following around the big club as kind of the third goalie type thing.
Okay. Who's your goalie coach or coaches there that have been working with you, and how's that relationship gone?
It's been good. I mean, this year, they obviously, with everything that happened last year, Nabby, Evgeny Nabokov, moved up to the NHL. So I worked with him last year for a little bit, and then now it's kind of who I'm working with this year. And then for the first part of the year, when I was with the American League, I was working with a guy by the name of Danny Sabourin. So he's a French guy who worked out in the Qs, then got promoted to the CUDA this year. So both really good guys, both good relationship with both of them.
All right. Zach Sachenko joining us tonight on Inside Sports, former goaltender for the U of A Golden Bears, as he's telling you, just signed his first NHL deal with the San Jose Sharks. It's got to be, I mean, look, as for the Oilers this year, I mean, the call-up, send-down situation doesn't work very well with Bakersfield and the border. Just tell me about having the NHL club and the AHL club in the same city. It's got to have a lot of advantages.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest advantage is that there's opportunity every night. It's real, I don't want to say easy to get called up, but it's a lot more accessible for Doug and Boogie to take a look at our team in the American League and basically decide who they want to call up and who's earned that opportunity. And it's lucky because, like you said, we don't have to hop on a plane, cross the border, or anything like that. We basically just walk down the hallway to the other dressing room. So it's it definitely has its advantages, and you know, we're pretty lucky down here in San Jose.
So tell me a little bit about how you've made the transition from playing major junior and then U Sports, and now you've been a pro goaltender for the last couple of years. I mean, well, I guess 3 years now. Like, did you notice a huge transition going Canada West to AHL, or how would you describe some of the ways the game might have been different or things you had to adjust to?
You know what, Reed? Quite honestly, I found a bigger adjustment in going major junior to Canada West. I think when I was playing at U of A, like, that program was so good, and there's so many guys at that school that can be playing in the East Coast League and the American League, that it kind of already felt like I was at that level to an extent. Obviously, I haven't been playing the American League, so there was an adjustment there with speed and stuff like that. But just the game itself was a much easier transition for me, I think, from the from Canada West and with the Bears to major junior. I think taking that step and going to school made that transition a little bit easier on me. And, you know, obviously it's paid its dues. So it's given its dividends.
Do you run into any former Bears or people who the teammates who aren't Canadian or from other parts of the country, like, do they ask you about the program? Because obviously, you know, the Bears are pretty pretty well known and pretty successful.
Yeah, so I run into the odd Canadian that asks me about the program. So there's always guys that are asking. And then obviously at the beginning of this year, I was playing with Al in the East Coast League. So I was playing with Ben Carroll, who I won a national title with. And then we always play against Stockton with Luke Phillip, who I obviously won a national title with as well. So it's no secret the Bears are good, and it's no secret that you know, if you're from Canada and you know a little bit about university hockey, you know who the Bears are.
Well, and I saw, you know, your old GM Stan Marple and a lot of teammates giving you the old retweet or the plug on social media when you signed your deal. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got a real tight-knit group. So I go back in the summertime. I trained with the same trainer I had at school. I obviously work with the same goalie coach I had at school. So it's a tight-knit group. And once you're part of the Bears family, you're part of the Bears family forever. So it was pretty cool to have, you know, all my former teammates and coaches, GMs, trainers, and all that reach out. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, I obviously took a pretty unique route to get to the pros, but if I don't go to school and go to U of A, I don't think that I do get this contract. So credit to them. It's a great story. Stan's a great person to be around, and he's built quite the program there. So like I said, I couldn't be prouder of my 2 years there, and that's a lot of lifelong friendships that were built.
Right on. Well, Zach, again, congratulations. Another step for you. You know, it's been awesome having you on the show, going back to when you played for the Golden Bears. So I'm sure we'll be talking again. Enjoy the experience the rest of the season, and we'll catch up down the road.
Awesome. No, thanks, Reed. Thanks for having me.
Zach Sachenko, former Golden Bear, now on the San Jose Sharks taxi squad. Taylor Hall gets a goal. Bruins beat the Islanders 4-1. Jets knock off the Maple Leafs 5-2. No Oilers game tomorrow. We expect schedule adjustments to be announced by then. Stauffer has Oilers now noon to 2. All have Inside Sports 6 to 8. Have a great night.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.